You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. I hope you felt that song. Here we go. Am I on screen? Okay. I have to start out. Well, okay, first two things. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I got a lot to say, and I'll have a lot more to say. But I got to tell you some good news. Can I tell you, share some personal good news? 5 minutes ago, maybe 8 minutes ago now, I got a picture of my brand new grandson down at Miller Hospital in Long Beach, born about 10:47 this morning. Yes, God is good. So I got to tell her happy Mother's Day. First child. So what a great day, huh? Yes. What a special day for all of us. One thing we all have in common, we all had a mom, right? We all had a mom. We all had mothers to celebrate. And today, people, at least across the United States, I don't know in other countries and other places what day. I know on Friday it was the Latin Mother's Day. We went to a restaurant and we're like, this place is packed. And then later on we were like, oh, okay, it's because it's Mexican Mother's Day and Colombian Mother's Day and Puerto Rican Mother's Day and everybody else's Mother's Day too. It's a big day. It's a big celebration. And it's one that pleases the Lord. Proverbs 31:31, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. In other words, just honor your mothers. Be thankful, because they deserve that honor. Okay, raise your hand if you're a mom. The rest of us, look at one of them and just say, thank you so much. Tell them, thank you. Mothers have an incredibly important and special place in the universe. All over the world, people are so grateful for their mothers, because so much of our life is founded by the love that we receive from our mothers. Even as infants, that love and that look and that care fills us up and forms our minds and our characters and feeds our souls in ways that we will probably never fully understand. And the sacrifice and the devotion that mothers exemplify for their children. This one picture of the mom carrying her little boy across the river to school has always been one of my favorite, because it so much exemplifies the role of a mom, the role of a mother, sacrificing herself to carry her little boy dressed in his school clothes with his little school backpack, making sure that he safely gets to school so he can be educated and have a better life than her. That's a mom. That's what moms do. And there's so much more they do that we don't even stop, and a lot of times we don't even realize, from giving birth, breastfeeding, spoon feeding, carrying babies, changing diapers, wiping bottoms, cooking, cleaning, sharing everything, serving everything, more cleaning, washing clothes, washing bedding, towels, nursing sick kids, nursing dads, interrupted meals, doctor's visits, emergency visits, late night nursing, serving this while she's sick, serving, worrying always, working extra jobs, giving up personal plans, giving up dreams, loving, forgiving, being patient, being kind, compassionate, understanding, discipling, teaching, and training her children. And all that while she's doing laundry. And you know, everywhere I go, all around the world, so many people, when they talk about their first spiritual steps, they talk about their grandmothers and how their grandmothers took them to church, how their moms talked to them about God. I mean, all over the world, I think Grandmothers especially are like the Navy SEALs of God's kingdom. They're the ones that just keep talking to those babies about God and getting them to go to church. Sometimes by the ears. That's why I got big ears, because of the moms in my family that made sure I went to Mass, that made sure I knew not to mess with God, that I knew that someday I was going to have to answer to God, and it might be Saturday if I don't do my chores, but I would be accountable in life, and help me form character and respect for God. So later on, when somebody would teach me the Bible, I would know how to respond and how to react. One of my many favorite quotes: all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, Abraham Lincoln. He was a young man with a lot of problems, a lot of emotional challenges, a lot of mental health issues, a lot of physical issues. His mom built iron into his soul by her love and her devotion to him. I'm so grateful for my mom. This is my mom, 1966, 24 years old, raising me and my little brother as a single mom. And I think about how hard she worked to protect and to give me a future. She sacrificed everything. She worked two jobs. I remember she'd take me to work with her, and she was a waitress, and she'd sit me in a booth in the back and give me two or three cans of Play-Doh, and I would sit there 4 or 5 hours while she worked lunch. And I would create a kingdom of animals and all kinds of things, and taught me to be creative, taught me to do something. I'm so grateful for her. And I will always miss her. 35 years ago, she passed away, and it left a hole in my universe that will never be filled. And I always see it. I always sense it. Many of us have lost our moms. A number of us have. Raise your hand if you've lost your mom. A lot of us have lost our moms. Let's take a moment of silence to remember the mothers gone and to thank God for them. So one of the greatest moms in the history of the world, in the history of creation, was Mary. We'd hear about Mary, and I know I'm supposed to be in John. I'll get to John at some point. But Luke's the one who tells us the story. Luke's the one that shares about Mary. Wanted to make sure Mary's story was told. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, is in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, their cousins, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel, the Lord is with you. Okay, first of all, what a scene. Imagine being there. And an angel appears. And he says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Probably one of the most important lessons we'll ever learn in life. If you can get that down, it'll change your life forever. The Lord is with you. He's with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I mean, you imagine, all right, first of all, why are you visiting me? What does this mean? What do you mean by favored? And what is that going to require of me? You know, because I know you got it. You give, but you also ask. She was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Probably the second most important lesson in life is to not be afraid, because God is with you. And those two always go together. Do not fear. The Lord is with you. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin, I shouldn't be pregnant, right? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Another important lesson. No word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. And this is it. Here's the incredible thing. You ever wonder why Mary? Why pick this little teenage girl in the backwoods of Israel? Why her? And in her response, we see why. She says, I am the Lord's servant. First of all, how she sees herself. Who are you? Who are you? She's got that crystal clear. I am the Lord's servant. That's who I am. That's why God picked her. That's why she'd be the perfect mom for the Savior of the world. That's why she's the right woman to raise God's son. Because she saw herself as a servant of the Lord. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. That's a dangerous prayer. May your will be done in my life. God, whatever you want me to go through, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm there. That was her heart. That's the heart of a servant of the Lord. You want me to sacrifice? You want me to suffer? I'll suffer, Lord. You want me to go without? You want me to go long? You want me to wait a long time? That's what I'll do. I am your servant. May the word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. He takes off. And Mary sings a song. It's a beautiful song. And LaTanya promised me that someday we'll sing it. We're going to learn and sing this song. It's one of the San Diego Church's favorite songs. It's called Magnificat. And it's Mary's song found in Luke. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Her song is dripping with humility, with love, with surrender to God. You want to know how to be happy? You want to know how to be used by God? You want to know how to just have an incredibly blissful life? This kind of surrender to God. This kind of just turn myself in. God, I'm yours. To do as you will. And it would be a long, hard road. I'm sure the joy, I can't even imagine. You imagine raising the Messiah? What do you say to Jesus? What if he doesn't eat all his vegetables? What do you say? Lord, please? What do you do if he gets bullied by another kid? Don't turn him into a pig, okay? Just he'll be all right. But it got hard. She had to watch her son be beaten, be tortured. She had to watch him. And right from the beginning, just a couple of verses later, it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to God to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. He was recognizing the pain that she would go through of watching her son be cursed, turned against, abandoned, betrayed, beaten, crucified, and die. Her own son. There's one sound that I cannot ever erase from my memory. That picture of the little baby, me and my brother, a couple years later, were playing in the front, and his toy rolled out in the street, and he ran out there just in time to get hit by a car. And I remember I started screaming, and my mom came out, and she picked him up, and I will never forget her screams. I'll never forget those. And she begged the man who hit my brother, and it wasn't his fault, to take her to the hospital, and they jumped in his car, and she took off, and I was standing there on the street watching the whole thing. And the sound of deep agony, watching your son die, and he died that day. Mary went through this. Mary suffered this. She suffered it because she knew that it would save you and it would save me. That this would be the price so that you could be with God, so that all your sins could be forgiven, no matter how bad they are, that the price paid would be so high that no matter how badly you've messed up, no matter how much I have blown it, it would be covered. It would be paid in full. The last words of Jesus, tetelestai, it is done. Also, same words stamped on a contract, paid in full. Paid in full. As a mother, she let it happen. For you and me, because she knew this was the way. And yet, despite all the natural protection that mothers have in them, mothers are the first line of defense for all children. There's that old saying, hell hath no fury like a mother defending her children. That she will fight, she will. You can ask my son, his favorite memory in life. My son reached in middle school, and this might shock you for a boy, but he started getting in trouble in middle school. And he paid a few visits to the principal's office. And one time the principal called us in, wanted to talk to us. We go in, and there's the school district counselor, his teacher, who loved my son, thought he was great, and the principal, who thought my son was out of control and undisciplined and just bad apple. And they started telling us all this stuff about how he lied and he scared everybody. And we felt horrible. We were like, oh no, you know, Andrew, what did you do? You know, and what happened? And then it kind of accidentally leaked out that his story had been collaborated by other parents. You see, he had told some kids that there was somebody with a gun near the school. And they assumed he was lying and making up stories. And so they wanted to meet with us to see if he's out of control at home. But it turns out there were actually other adults who'd seen this. And he did everything he could. And I'm not saying he was innocent in character, but he really was trying to help. But in that moment, they were labeling him and slamming him. And when Michelle heard that this was collaborated, all I heard was, bam! As her hand came down on the table, and she was like, what? Or was that my hand? Maybe that was my. She was like, what? What? You mean everything he said was collaborated by other adults? Well, yeah, but, and they just started backpedaling, and I was thinking of every legal term I could go out there, labeling and prejudice and this and that. Like, you've labeled my son. And we just, you know, but boy, he loves the way his mom went after the principal and the counselor. That's his favorite story. It's because what moms do. Moms fight for their kids. They sacrifice for their kids. They do whatever it takes to give them a good life, to help them along. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take the love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining and defies all explanation. It still remains a secret not understand, and another one, a many splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. It's a powerful thing, a mother's love. It's an incredible, amazing gift, a mother's love. It's what helps so many of us to be our best, to inspire us. I mean, how many of us, when we're about to sin, we think of our grandma, or we think of our mom? What would mom say? What would she say to me? Because you take all that love from a mom and you pour it into a person and it helps them to be the best version of them. I think this is why even God presents himself as a mom. In Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. What a mom does is what I do, he says. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for that child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And you know, the sad thing is sometimes, just like a mother's love can empower us and give us vision and give us strength, sometimes the lack of a mother's love can also be deeply painful. And he says, even though that may happen, it won't happen with me, because God's love is unconditional and unyielding. It's always there. She sacrifices all her happiness. She sacrifices all her dreams. She sacrifices all of herself to be a mother her children needs. This is the life of a mother. This is what moms do. There's two words in the Bible that describe love. There are many words, but two of the probably key words, agape, which most of us know, right? And chesed, which is the Hebrew understanding of this kind of love. Both of these are used to describe God many times. Both of these are where the Bible says God is this. He is this. Agape, we understand kind of as unconditional love. It's an interesting study because it's not a word found frequently in Greek literature. It's kind of a rare word. It's like the Christians took that word and said, we're going to give this word meaning, and we're going to define it. It's unconditional love. No matter what you do, you will be loved. Chesed is similar, a little different. It's a contractual love. It's a love from a relationship. Although unlike a contract, because it's more covenantal, unlike a contract, you don't have to sign. The fact that Jesus died on a cross and showed extreme love for you means you're under obligation now. He gave you his heart and his life, and now he asks for you to give your heart and your life. You don't have to sign a contract. We were purchased with his blood. We were bought and paid for by Jesus. We belong to him, whether we realize it or not. We do belong to him. But that love, that unconditional, unrelenting, and they're a little different because unconditional means no matter what, you can't, it won't stop. But unrelenting also means no matter what, it won't go away. It won't disappear. And that's very different than worldly love, right? And worldly love is, are you pretty enough? What if you're not being pretty anymore? What if you gain weight? What if you start wrinkling up? What if you got scars? Love in the world is very conditional. What if you're not smart enough? What if I thought you were smarter when I married you, but now I don't see you're so smart? No, nobody would ever think such a thought. What if you're slow and you don't get it and difficult for understanding? What if it's frustrating me and my life? What if you're not strong enough? What if you're weak? What if you're too emotional? What if you're not emotional enough? What if you're too fragile? What if you're too thick-headed? What if you're not educated enough for me? What if you're not talented enough for me? What if you never didn't go to school and it was okay when we were young, but now it's frustrating? What if you're not very professional and you're sloppy? What if you're not the breadwinner I thought you were going to be? What if you're not righteous enough? What if you're not strong enough leader? What if you make too many mistakes? What if you're just too sinful? You think any of this could be real? Oh, yeah. That is the world. You've got to live up to the expectation. And love can be tied to that. And that is a scary thing. It causes all kinds of problems. It makes us insecure, fearful of losing relationships. So we do things just to hang on to a relationship, even though we know it's not what we should be doing. We become people pleasers. We become perfectionists, hard on ourselves, trying to earn love, acceptance, molding ourselves to everybody else's needs and wants. And we lose sight of ourselves. We can become very self-critical because we know that person is critical. Because our friends are critical. We become self-negative. We don't love ourselves, even though we were created in God's image. We don't see ourselves that way. And we can become hopeless because we feel like no matter what I do, I can't earn it. I'm never good enough. And we can despair, and we can get angry, and we get tired of trying to earn love, trying to please others. We become bitter because we think it'll never work, and lose faith and despair and hopelessness. And we can become deeply discouraged and even depressed. And all of this is just what happens when there's a lack of love, when love is conditional. When love, it can disappear and it's not unyielding. It yields to whims and emotions. Insecure love makes insecure people. And I realize this, that in our world, we get love primarily from two sources. And anything even close to unconditional love really comes from two main sources. Family, hopefully mom, you know. You know that old saying, she's got a face only a mother could love? Hopefully we have that experience. Mom loves me. I don't care what anybody else says. My mom loves me. I mean, have you ever done that? You know, your whole team, you mess up on a game and the team's mad at you. Well, at least my mom loves me, you know. Sometimes that's our only refuge. I can go home to mom.
Thank God.
Thank God for mom. And some of us are fortunate enough to have a dad, although a lot of us didn't have a dad like that, but some of us did. And you know the value of that, and a dad who loves you unconditionally. And that's such a powerful thing. Or a brother, or a sister, or a family member. And this is where most of us get a taste of this, and get enough taste of it because we were designed for this kind of love. Because we're made in God's image, we're designed. That's the only thing that will fill that big hole in our hearts. Is unconditional, unrelenting love. And so we get a taste of this maybe with mom, maybe with dad, maybe with some of our family. And over the years, you appreciate your family more and more. I remember when I was a young Christian, I became a Christian. I was like, I don't need my family. I got my church, you know. But over the years, guess who's always been there? Family. And you realize why the Bible says if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Because family's family. And they're there. Even though you get stuck with them sometimes, but they're there. And just like the family of God, we have to learn how to love them. And we have to learn how to forgive them. But this is where we experience unconditional. The other one is in religion. Good religion, not bad religion, good religion. Where we learn about God's love and his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness. We learn about these things. Bad religion, you learn about the opposite. How much you blow, how bad you are, how shameful you are, how there's you're never going to change. That doesn't help in the long run. There's nothing like the power of grace and mercy to change us and transform us. And so we experience in religion, but you know what the problem in our world is now? People don't have family and they don't have religion. The two very places where you get this. They're out. They're not popular anymore. Every movie slams religion. Every show that comes out, if there's going to be a weirdo, it's going to be a religious person. If there's a religious person character that pops up in the show, you know he's probably going to be a cult leader or a human being eater or some evil person or a demon in disguise. It's just, that's the way it's portrayed. And the world has lost all trust in both family and religion. The very two sources that we desperately need in order to be healthy human beings, in order to thrive. And boy, is it affecting our world. We have the Surgeon General, I know you know this already, but because it fits the context, published in a study that the United States is officially in a loneliness epidemic. People are lonely and they're hurting. America, it says, is in despair. Our society is in despair, losing social connection. Stress is off the charts. It's off the charts. A recent study said the average teen, high school teen, is experiencing the same levels of anxiety as a psychiatric patient in a psych ward in the 1950s. And these are studies by the American Psychology Association. Yeah. Of that's the lack of love in religion, not being able to find it at church, in religion, the lack of spirituality, which is the doorway to it. That's the outlet where you plug in. You can't charge your phone if there's no outlet. It's where we plug in with God and fill up with love. And then the family is totally unraveling. And it's affecting our world. American happiness hits record lows. And it's not just America, but that's our neighborhood. That's our community. And thus, we are easily polarized. We easily become hateful people. We easily are filled with fear and anxiety. And we believe any lie, we believe every rumor, we just go with it. Because we're already full of so much fear and anxiety. That's our world. That's our world. And yet into that world steps in Jesus. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. That's what he did. That's what he did. He showed us love. And you know what he did? When he came to change the world, he didn't go to China. He didn't go to Mexico. He didn't go to Australia. He didn't go to Europe. He went to God's people to teach them what love is. Because religion without love is a nightmare. And they were off. They were more about the rules and the traditions instead of about love. So he told them all these stories so they could understand how loving God is and how good he is. We got to get this down. Paul said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, in other words, get it, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. What does that mean? Surpasses. It's not just a matter of knowing in your brain. It's experiencing it. It's walking with God. It's living in God. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit that just takes you to a whole another level of life. He said, I pray that you'll get there. And he's talking to Christians, because just because you're a Christian, just because you're in this church, doesn't mean you're living that life. Because the church is not a membership. It's a discipleship, and we can't confuse those two. It's a life of walking with God and being filled with his love and goodness. In Romans 8, I won't read it all to you. You know the scripture, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. This is his vision for you and me. That we be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit would just pour into us love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and even self-control. That's his plan. Now you get why they call it the good news? This is the good news. This is the gospel. So what does our world need? Somebody should write a song. What the world needs now is what?
Love.
Love, sweet love. God provides everything we need. He provides examples. Thank you, moms. He provides the Holy Spirit to fill us up. He provided God himself in the form of Jesus to show us the way. Follow him. Live a life of love. Fix your eyes on him. Set your heart on him. Grow in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That was my John scripture, by the way. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, especially for Jesus. As we eat this little piece of bread and drink this little cup of juice, help us to realize the sacrifice that it came with and the hope that it brings us. Help us, God, to appreciate the love expressed here. Father, we thank you for our moms who modeled love in so many ways. Help us, God, to encourage them today to be thankful for them and to imitate that love, agape love, chesed love, unconditional and unyielding and unrelenting. It's how you've loved us. Help us, God, to love each other this way. Please, God, help us to love each other this way, and therefore to be able to love the lost, the world that we live in this way, the way you did, and therefore be a light to this world. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.